As always, this sermon and series will be on www.lifegatechurch.com, along with hundreds of other series and a thousand other sermons. So I invite you to go there and help yourself. Also, if you're looking for us on Facebook, it's LifeGate, two words, LifeGate Church. Find us there. Well, we're beginning a new series today, and the series, of course, called The Creative Power of Words. I don't know if you noticed on the intro and transition video that we showed you, but there was a definition for words there, and I want to spring from it. I want to make sure we see something here as we spring into this lesson and in the lessons that's going to follow. The definition for words, of course, it's a noun, it's plural, but it means a unit of language consisting of one or more spoken sounds or their written representation. And at one point in time, I really want to talk about the power of your written word. We know God's word is powerful. It's written. And we know that. But your written word is powerful also. Talk about that sometime. It's spoken sounds of their written or their written representation that functions, and here's the part I want, that functions as a principal carrier, big word, principal carrier of meaning. By definition, your words carry your meaning into your future. By definition, the words you speak greatly influence and create your future. Now, we're going to be talking about that. That's the primary thing. And if you've never heard me or anyone talk about the power of words, then it's going to be a real eye-opener for you. If you have, it's still going to be an eye-opener for you in that it's going to stir you up again to watch your words. You know, I do this, and I've done this for years and years. I've known the power of creative work and creative power of words for, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years. But I still catch myself from time to time saying something and pushing something out there in my future that I don't want to experience, you know? And so it's caused me to look at it again, you know, and get it straightened out again. Watch my mouth. So this is what we're going to be talking about for the next several weeks when I speak. This is what we'll be talking about, maybe three, maybe four sermon series on this particular thought, the power, creative power of your words. I'm always amazed at Christ's followers who don't know the understand and realize the power and the creativity of their words. See, your words create your future. If you want to know what your life, if you want a picture of what your life is going to be in 5 years or 10 years, just listen to yourself talk. Here, look at what you're saying. Listen to your words. And what you're living right now is what you created by your words. You're living right now the aspects of life of what you created with your words at the then past, but you're now present. Now, your good things that are going on in your life were greatly influenced by the words you spoke, but also were the bad things that are going on in your life influenced by the words you spoke. Your blessings in life were greatly influenced by the words you spoke, but also maybe the cursings in your life were greatly influenced and created by the words you spoke. So what we want to do is I want you to see that words direct your life. This is the primary thought I want you to get today. And I want you to see that words are directing your life. Now, let me show you scripture on to validate what I just said to you. Because I know to some of you say, what? Words? Sounds? Yeah. So I want you to see this in the scriptures and validate what I just told you. In the book of James, chapter 3, beginning at verse 3 and reading this time through verse 5 at this point. We're going to read more in a moment, but, you know, this is so rich, and I really want to go slowly through it so we can get it. It says, but when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us. Now, why do we put bits in horses' mouths? To make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal, the entire animal turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. I like that it says that because he's really not talking about bits and horses' mouths. And he's really not talking about ships. He's talking about something else. But using ships as an example, although they are so large and are driven by strong winds. Now notice that the strong winds are positive. They're to propel the ship, the large ship. That's what propels the ship, strong winds. They are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Where who wants to go? Not where the winds want it to go, but where the pilot wants it to go. Wherever the pilot wants to go, likewise the tongue. So what he's really been talking about is not horses and bits and not ships and rudders. He's really talking about the tongue, your words. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. But my goodness, what great winds it makes. What great boast it makes. Right? Now, he's not talking about that piece of meat in your mouth that waggles and flops around. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is what that piece of meat in your mouth that waggles and flops around, he's talking about the words it creates. He says that your words, your tongue, is like a bit in a horse's mouth to turn your life, that your life will obey you. He says that your words, your tongue, is like a rudder on a ship that sets the course of your life wherever you want to go. You're the pilot. And then he says, likewise, the tongue. What I really want you to see today is that your words direct the course of your life. Your words control the course of your life and direct it to and into what your words have already created. Your words direct and control your life, taking it to and into what your words have already created. We're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures, death and life, and the power of the tongue. By your words, you're justified. By your words, you're condemned. There's so much power in our ability to speak and to talk. We create our worlds with our words. So this is what we're going to be looking at. Now let's ingest what we just read just a little bit. He says your words are like a bit in a horse's mouth. Your words are like a bit in a horse's mouth, and that bit turns that whole animal. That bit causes that horse to obey its rider. Your words turn your life. You turn your life by your words. How's your life doing? What direction is your life going? Only way you can turn it is with your words. You turn your life with your words. Listen, you're not on this thing just for a ride. The horse isn't going just where it wants to go. You cause your life to obey you. You're just not riding through this thing. You turn your whole life around with your words. How's your life going? Is it going in the direction you want it to? Well, then turn it. The way you'll do it is with your words. And he said that your words are like the rudder on a large ship. It controls the direction you go and the course your life is on. Exactly as that rudder controls that ship, the course it goes and the direction that it goes. And it says it goes wherever the pilot wants to go. You're the pilot. Again, you're not on this thing just to take a ride. You're on this thing to get to where you want to go. And your words set your course. What's your course? Where are you heading? What is your compass heading in life? The way you change it, the way you'll set it, the way you'll get to where you want to go is by understanding the creative power of your words. You go where you want to go, and your words determine it. Your future is waiting on you. It's already been carried out there by your words. And it talks about those strong winds that blow and that drive that vessel, that large ship, that drive it, that propel it. See, that's what your words are supposed to do. You're not on this thing just to go wherever the winds want you to go and blow you around. No, the winds should propel you, should push you to where you want to go. And the way you do that, the way you create wins for your life, is by boasting. By boasting into where you want to go. Create winds, tailwinds that will force you. He's talking about sailing shell ships. You know, and what a sail ship has to do it has to zig and zag as it cuts through. If the wind is a headwind, what it has to do is it has to set its sail so it can still go forward, but it's only at about a 45 degree angle. And then it has to turn again, and it comes back again, and it turns again. Well, what if it's a headwind? You don't need to zig and zag through life. What we want to do is create tailwinds. We want to boast. We want to create winds that blow from the tail end and push us rapidly into where we want to go. And we do that with our words. Now, in verses 3, 4, and 5, what James does here, the word of the Lord, what it tells us is the power of your tongue to direct your life. The power. But now he's going to talk about in verses 6 through 10, the next five verses, we're going to read them. But what he does now is he's going to tell you about the destructive power your words have in your life. Now, notice the emphasis is not what our words do for someone else. His emphasis is primarily emphasizing that what your words will do in your life. Now, let's read this, beginning at verse 6. And the tongue, your words, your tongue is a fire. Your words will set your life on fire. I mean, not in a good way. It's a destructive fire from hell. It'll be clear here in just a second. But you can crash and burn. Your words can cause you to crash and burn. The tongue, the words, your tongue is a world of wickedness. Your words make you wicked. Set among our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body. Your words affect your health. Do your words affect your health? Well, yeah, they deprave it. They cause it to contaminate, be contaminated. The whole body and setting on fire. Now, I love this phrase. This is interesting to me. The will of birth. The will of birth. We would say the circle of life. The cycle of life. We would say, you know, how we go through life, your cycle of life. And what he's talking about, though, is your nature. It says the will of birth, the cycle of a man's nature, your personality, your character. Your words determine that. The nature being itself, your words, the tongue, being itself ignited by hell, by Gehenna. Your words can be used by hell. Your words can destroy your life. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea animal can be tamed and has been tamed by human genius, human nature. But the human tongue can be tamed by no man. Nobody can tame your tongue. By no man. It is restless, undisciplined, irreconcilable, evil, full of deadly poison. Our words can poison our own lives. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who were made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come forth blessings and cursings. You can bless with your tongue, or you can curse with your tongue. You can bless with your words, or you can use your words to curse. These things, my brethren, ain't supposed to happen. Ought not be so. Now again, he is not talking about that piece of meat in your mouth. He's talking about the words that tongue creates. And what I want you to see primarily here is that your words bless, can bless, or your words can curse. Now, usually when we think about cursing, you know, like we did with the Cussing Christian series, we're talking about, you know, cussing something or someone else. But that's not his emphasis here. I hope you saw that. Your words can poison your life. Your words can make you wicked. Your words can defile you. Your words can make you sick. Your words can poison your life. He's talking about what our words do to us. And he says, nobody can tame it. No one can tame your tongue for you. Only you get to control what you say. Only you have to make a conscious decision whether you're going to use your tongue to bless your life and others or curse your life. And if you try to curse others, you're really only cursing yourself. We have to make that call. We get to make that decision. Now, it's amazing to me. You know, see, we can curse our own lives. And it seems that this really isn't a big problem for a lot of Christ followers. They just don't understand what they're saying. Christians just don't get it sometimes. You know, Christians, you'll hear them say, and maybe you've heard somebody say these kinds of things, I'm so stupid. I'm so stupid. I'm so clumsy. I'm so obnoxious. Nobody wants to be around me. I'm so fat. I'm out of shape. I'm so slow. I'm so lazy. All right, now from what we have just read, what has a person saying that done? Have they blessed their lives? Or have they cursed their lives? The horse is going wherever it wants to go. And it's going to destruction. It's going to run off a cliff. You're just on it for a ride. The horse is riding you, actually, rather than you riding the horse when you say those kinds of things. The ship is just being blown by the winds. Ship is being blown, not driven by the winds, but blown by the winds. Not going where the pilot wants to go, but where the winds are blowing it. Nobody's in charge of their life. It's just taking you. See, we've got to learn the creative power of our words and the power that our words do, because our words are carriers and they're carrying out into our future what we're going to experience in life. What you've done, if you say those kinds of things, have you just created more stupidity for yourself? More clumsiness for yourself? More people not to like you? You've created more of yourself being out of shape. You've created more laziness for yourself, being slower yet. Your words cause this or create this. So we've got to understand what we're saying and what's going on. It sounds maybe funny, or maybe we sound like we're kind of trying to get a little sympathy or help somebody understand why we messed up or whatever. But what we're doing is we're messing our lives up. We're poisoning our own selves. Or maybe, you know, you don't do that. Or maybe, you know somebody who, instead of maybe talking about themselves, maybe what they do is they talk about their problems all the time. You know, everything's going bad for them. You know, this is bad. The marriage is bad. The kids are bad. Everything's bad in my life. I can't get a break. The economy, the economy is so bad, they're going to do layoffs before long, and I'll probably lose my job. You know, flu season's coming, and I'm going to get it. I always get it. What's just happened? What have they just created for themselves? What is now being carried by their words into their future? Say, yeah, unless they use their words to turn their lives and cause their life to obey them, that's what they're going to get. Unless they use that rudder, their words as that rudder, to set the course for their life. Unless they set the course for that and pilot their life, that's what they're going to get. They're going to get more problems. They're going to get more loss of jobs. They're going to have more problems in their marriage, and more problems with their kids, more problems in this area, more problems in that area. Their words create their futures. Your words are carriers, and they go forth in front of us. We've got to learn how to handle this. We've got to learn what to do with this. Now, what I want to do for the next few minutes is I want to give you two solutions. We're going to be talking over the weeks of a lot of solutions, but we've just got to be aware, first and foremost, of the power of our own words and how they can mess our own lives up, that they can bless our lives or they can curse our lives. So I want to look at this I want to give you a couple of ideas as to how this really will work out in your life and what some things you can do as far as putting blessings into your future instead of cursings into your future. I'll give you two today. All right. Jesus in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 is teaching what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And right in the middle of it, in chapter 6, he's talked about praying, and interestingly, he says, when you pray, say it. You're creating something in your prayer. So he's talked about prayer, and immediately after talking about prayer, what he begins talking about is worry and being anxious about things in life. And he basically says, don't do it. Don't worry. Don't be anxious about stuff. His solutions are twofold. Number one, trust God. You know, consider the sparrows, consider the lilies. You know, you can't make yourself grow one inch. You know, he says, don't do it. Number one, don't allow yourself to be anxious and to worry. But secondly, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. He says the solution is in the kingdom of God. Now we kind of don't really think, what does that really mean? Well, what it means is seek a kingdom solution. What does the kingdom say about your worry? What does the kingdom say about your problem? He says, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, then all these things that are causing you to be anxious and all these things that are causing you to worry, they'll take care of themselves. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you, right? You got to have a kingdom solution. But right in the middle, and it's a pretty long discourse there, what he's talking, pretty lengthy teaching, but right in the middle of it, he makes this amazing statement that I have never really saw before or amplified to me before. We were talking before service, and it was Kevin was talking to me, and Kevin says, you'll say something, but then you'll do a scripture, but the next time you do it, you see something else. And then the Word of God is alive. That's why it's that way. But I've never seen this before until I was doing my research, for this particular teaching. But right in the middle of that, Jesus says something that's incredibly interesting. Here's what he says, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. He says, so do not worry saying. What does that mean? What he's meaning here is don't put your worries into words. Don't worry saying. Would you all say that along with me on the count of three? Just as loud as I can get you to say it. Don't worry saying. Would you say that on the count of three? One, two, three. Don't worry saying. Don't put your worries into words. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Oh, my goodness, I'm so worried about the economy. Oh, my goodness, I'm so worried about my job. Oh, my goodness, I'm so worried about my kids. Oh, my goodness, I'm so worried about my marriage. Oh, my goodness, I'm so worried about my money. He says, don't put that into words. Now, we all have concerns. We've got concerns, yes. And there's got to be a balance there. Sometimes you've got to talk to somebody about some things. But that's not the same as just talking about your problems. And what I've learned is something supernatural happens when we put our worries into words. It comes to life. And a thought becomes a reality. And so what I have learned is don't say it. Don't put your worries into words. A thought most times will just die as a thought and never make it to being a reality if you just don't say it. But when we say it, it's like we give it life. We feed it. We create it. And what we're learning here is what it's doing is it's carrying its intention, it's carrying its definition, it's carrying its meaning into our future. Well, you know, and you've all probably heard someone say this. Well, I thought it. Bless God, I might as well go ahead and say it. No, you bless God better not. There is a world of difference between thinking it and saying it. And a lot of times I'll be talking to somebody, and I'll be rattling along and I find myself going a little negative. And here comes this thing about coming out. It's about to come out. And I said, oh, I can't say that. I don't need to say that. And, you know, the person you're talking to says, well, you might as well go ahead and say it. You thought it. And, oh, no. I'm not creating that. So we got to learn that the first thing we got to do is just don't say it. Don't create it. Don't send it out there. That's the best thing you can do to bless your life, you know, is don't put a curse out there for yourself. So number one is don't put your worries into words. Don't feed your worry. Let that thing dry up and die. Build it a tombstone right there as a thought. Let it die right there within you. Never let it out. That's the first thing. And the second thing. Second thing Jesus said, he said, don't worry saying your worries. But often, other times, he'll talk us to speak things. So what we do is instead of speaking into our worries, we speak into the solution. Give fuel to the solution. Fill your words with the solution instead of the problem. For example, you have an illness. Somebody has an illness, and we get ill sometimes. And so we start thinking, maybe start saying, you know, this thing, I'm never going to get well. And this thing, you know, this thing might kill me. You know, I think this is what my grandmother hadn't died from 15 years ago. And what have we just done? You see, we've spoken into the problem, into the illness. We've spoken death into it and not life. We fueled that avenue. We fueled the problem. Well, rather than say that, saying, oh, no, no, no. I'm getting better every day. I'm getting better in every way. Now, at the time, you likely won't feel that way. You won't feel like you're getting better every day, and you won't feel like you're getting better in every way. But for goodness sakes, don't fuel the problem and don't fuel the worry. Fuel the solution. That's what Jesus said. What you got to do is first trust God, but secondly, you got to do a kingdom solution. What is the kingdom solution? Well, one of them is in 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, I pray above all things. This is a prayer from heaven. I pray above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So what you say is, oh, no, no, I'm getting better every day. I'm getting better in every way. I am prospering. I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am going to be healthy. I am going to be prosperous, even as my soul prospers. And you fuel those words. You put those words in the solution. You send forth the solution to be carried into your future. Oh, so what's worrying you? What has you? Well, what you want to learn to do is not send out the curse, send out the blessing. Your words are carriers by definition. You know, your words are carriers. You know, we go through all kinds of things, you know, like financial things and situations. Well, don't fuel how poor you are and you're probably going to lose your job and you might have to go bankrupt. Don't fuel that. No, what is the kingdom solution? Philippians 4:19 is one. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus, in glory in Christ Jesus. How many knows how rich glory is? That's a pretty rich place. It's got plenty for you to satisfy what you need to take care of you. Trust God. Do the kingdom solution. And then all your thing, all these needs that you have, will be given unto you. So what we want to do is first of all, not speak it out there and throw it out there to curse us, but instead throw out the solution to bless us. So number one, don't say it. Don't make your worries words. And number two, what you do is you speak your solution. You put your solution into words, and you put that out there as the blessing for your life. And this is how we're going to start with this series. I want you to see the power that are in your words, the creative power in your words. But I also want you to go out of here with some solutions as well to help you today and this week. Listen, just don't say it. All of us, by definition, your words are carriers. They carry your future. Your words carry what's going to happen to you in your near future. You speak it. And your words will take you into it, and you will experience it. Your words are like a bridle, like a horse's bit. in the horse's mouth. Your words turn your life. Turn your life if you don't like the direction you're going in. Your words cause your life to obey you. You're not in this thing just to go on a ride. You're in this thing to go where you want to go. And God has given you words to help you get there. Direct your life with your words. Your words are like a rudder on a big ship. And you navigate your life. You navigate your world with your words. Your words are being used to set your course, set the direction of your life, to take you where you want to go in life, wherever the pilot wants to go. Don't let the winds blow you around wherever they want to blow you. Create winds. Create boast that are going to drive you, that are going to propel you to go where you need to go in life, so that you won't need to be tacking in life, going zigging and zagging, that you can go where you want to go. Create the boast. Your words are the wheel of birth. Your words are your cycle of life. Your words create your character, your nature, your personality. Your words create your cycle of life and greatly influence your children. We'll be looking at this. The generations to come are greatly influenced by your words. No one can tame your words. No one. Only you make the decision that if you're going to tame your tongue and let it speak blessings, or let your tongue run wild and speak cursings. You can bless your life or curse your life with your own words, with your tongue. Don't make your worries words. Jesus says, don't worry saying. Don't make your worries words. Don't send those out. Don't worry saying. Instead, send out the solution. Send out. Something supernatural happens when we speak our worries. They come alive. Let those things die. Instead, create the solution. Feed, fuel the words. Put the words out there that are going to be blessings in your life. To be the solution to your problem. Your words are carriers, whether you like it or not. Your words carry your future. By definition, your words define who you will be, what you will live, your generations to come. Your words are powerful. Your words are creative. And I hope over these next weeks we'll be renewed, learn how to guard our mouths and only speak out the that we want to experience. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your amazing word that is really able to save our souls. Thank you. Father, I pray now that this seed has fallen upon good soil. The Lord, no one will go out of here without thinking about the words they say, what they mean, what they create, and how one day we will eat those words. So, Father, I ask you to bless us now. Help us, be with us, guard us, and help us guard our mouths. We ask it in Jesus' name. We're going to be praying for people.